I'm glad to see you all here this morning, and we're going to start a new series this morning. The series is entitled Overcomers. I've grown to love that word, overcomers, because we can feel so defeated sometimes and so overwhelmed that if we're not careful, it can just put us down in a pit. But if we're looking to God and relying on God, then we can experience the power of God helping us to have victory to overcome the circumstances that we face, whatever they might be. And that's why we had the kids, Tatum, in the middle. The circumstance was kind of overbearing, overcoming, but looking to God, you can gain grace and power to do what God wants you to do. Most of you, maybe a few of you, I don't know if most of you is the right word, but remember this story. Years ago, I emphasize years, when Kathy and I were working with the youth, we went river rafting. And we took the youth up to Truckee, and we had a great time up there at a camp, Christian camp, and then we went river rafting, and that particular year, the river rafting was at almost its highest level. It goes levels 1 through 5. We were at 4.5. And we had a new tour guide, and he wasn't that experienced. And you can see people on here. I'm with the goofy hat. That's my mission hat from Guatemala, and my hat over here. There's Aaron, there's Kathy. Oh, that's Daniel, Kathy, Aaron, Carolyn, Gregory, Hannah. Nope, that's not Gregory. I don't know who that is.
Gregory's behind you.
Gregory's here. Hannah. And that's the visitor kid we had. But who's that? I don't know.
That's Carolyn.
Carolyn, Kathy, Daniel, me, Gregory, Hannah, and the new kid on the block, the guy that didn't know what he was doing. So
He didn't know that river.
And in the middle of the river was a rock. And the rock was huge. And it was called Houseboat Rock. Well, I remember Houseboat, but House Rock, okay? It was huge. And so it's dead in the middle of the river. The waves are like that. He's saying, on the right, paddle on the right, on the left, paddle, right, left, all this stuff. And so we're getting closer to the rock, and we're going dead on. And then he goes, left, to turn us around it. Well, when we went to go around it, we flipped on the side of it and flipped over. And so Kathy flew over my head, and I remember her by me underneath the water, and apparently I kicked her head. And then she was trying to help Carolyn to keep her safe, You know, this is my girl, my baby girl, so I need to help her. And so everybody got... So anyways,
I think he was...
Everybody that was on the raft got back in the raft except me. They didn't know where I was at. And so I was underwater being pulled upstream. And I can remember the gravel going into the legs of my bathing suit. I was just dragged along the bottom and the water all up on the top. And they really couldn't find me. And so... I'm thinking, and then I would pop up and grab some air and go right back down and pull me back down. I remember thinking, God, is this it? I was kind of being sarcastic. Is this it? You know? He said, nope. And then I did what they told me not to do. They said, don't grab onto any branches. And I said, I don't really care. I'm grabbing a branch and holding on. And they came and got me and sent me back down to our boat. So now we're heading back. We were only halfway on the river trip, and there's no way to get down to our bus except by that. So everybody's paranoid, you know. But we got there, we were okay.
You still have your hat on. This is before the rock.
So I still have my hat on, but anyways, after the rock, we had that type of trauma.
Did you lose your hat?
No, it stayed on in the water. Yeah, it had a tie string. That was an experience that we all were praying and looking to God for help. And we overcame the situation. You get the point of the story? We overcame the situation. I definitely was looking up to God. They were praying as well. And people were communicating raft to raft. There's someone on the water going up that way. Watch out for them, that type of a thing. So there's nothing like a sensation of being overwhelmed or feeling you're out of control or not in control of something. We all like to be in control of our circumstances, especially the circumstances that have a tendency to threaten us or to rob us or to do harm to us. We want to have control over that. And I could have just said, okay, that's it, and stay in the water. I had a vest on too. I was still being pulled underwater. Some of you may be going through circumstances in your life right now that are overwhelming. And if you're not, you probably will later, because we all go through overwhelming circumstances, and we have to trust God with that. But we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared that we are, so that we're not taken down by the circumstance. What was it that the kids did that helped? What did Tatum have to do to help her be prepared and facing the pressure of people around her like that? In the illustration, she was told to look up. And being prepared is to rely on God and trust God in everything. Trust in His power, His grace, His intervention, and His purpose and His will. And we just give ourselves to Him because we don't belong to ourselves anymore. We've asked Christ in our heart. We've been bought by the precious blood of Christ. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to Him. And so we need to trust Him in any circumstance, especially those that we're not in control of. We're not to allow ourselves to think this is it and I'm giving up. Because with God, we don't have to give up. And He doesn't want us to give up. And I could have given up underneath the water, but I knew I wasn't supposed to. I was just going for a ride. You know? If we're listening to our anxieties and our insecurity and our fears and our doubts, that's going to overwhelm us and pressure us. But if we turn off those insecurities, fear and worry and anxiety and doubts, we do that by acknowledging to God that I am feeling really insecure about this, or I am really worried or anxious about this. Whatever emotion you're going through, take it to God. Say, God, I'm really upset. Whatever the case is, just take it to Him and trust Him with that circumstance. And that'll help prepare you and I in that situation that we're facing. Likewise, as we look at that circumstance, we look at the world around us, we begin to focus on the problems and the uncertain situations or the ridiculous things in our culture that are staring us in our face or staring our kids in the face. We can face very real, overwhelming circumstances like getting laid off from work or struggles in our marriages, kid problems, taking care of aging parents, Carolyn, medical issues, not being able to get over past mistakes, not letting go of past mistakes, or the death of loved ones. And so these types of things can be overwhelming, overbearing, and difficult to deal with. But again, what do? We look up to God. We say, God, You're my Father. I belong to You. I trust that You have Your purpose and Your plan in all things. And I'm going to rely on You because, after all, I don't belong to myself. I belong to You, and You love me. And we keep walking through with Jesus. When I was underwater, and I said, God, is this it? And nope, oh, okay, boom, 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 until I grab that limb. Here's the question. Are you willing to settle for being overwhelmed by circumstances forever, or do you want to step up and overcome whatever is robbing you of joy in life? Have you seen people that have allowed circumstances in their life, bad circumstances that they've faced, cripple them emotionally for life? Because they're not willing to let go of what's happened, because they're not looking up to trust God to carry them and to love them. They hold on to the luggage that drags them down instead of letting go of the luggage and looking up and trusting God. Now, I want to remind you, this is an introduction to this series of messages. So there's more examples in this message, not as much scripture, but as an introduction, I want you to understand the importance of being overcomers. Change begins with a decision to be overwhelmed or to overcome. I like that. Do we want to be overwhelmed with our life circumstances, or do we want to experience overcoming it through our faith and dependency on God? That's a choice. And we all don't necessarily make the right choice, but the right choice is to rely on God. We need to not surrender to stress, anxiety, and fear. We need to change our focus. Throughout the ministry that God has had Kathy and I in, that we've had to tell ourselves, stop looking horizontally at circumstances. Look vertically at God. Because if we look at the horizontal circumstances in our life that are dragging us down, that are overwhelming us, creating anxiety, fear, et cetera, et cetera, then what will it do? It will literally drag us down spiritually. But if we look to God vertically and rely on Him and keep our eyes on Him, like in that illustration with the kids, we will find instruction, peace, and resolve that God wants us to have as we rely on Him. We need not surrender our stress and anxiety, we need to not surrender to stress, anxiety, and fear. We need to change our focus. Focus sets our direction. Focus helps our reach, helps us reach our goal. What's our goal? Our goal is to be the person God wants us to be in any circumstance. Our goal is to be the person God wants us to be in our life, in our walk, in our commitment, and in our love for Him. So we can look to Christ as an example where someone has been overwhelmed by his or her life. We can look in our own life and say, I know that I was overwhelmed here. Did you make the right choice? Did you focus yourself correctly? Were you looking horizontally at all the things that could happen, or were you looking up to God? And we need to look to God and trust Him, because He has our best interest, He loves us, and He knows what He's doing, and we can trust Him. Jesus was overwhelmed by the circumstances, if you will. When I say overwhelmed, closed in by the circumstances that were around Him as He walked on earth. He was ridiculed. There's I believe in Psalm 69 or somewhere like that, one of those 67, 69, right around there, as I'm just recalling at the moment, that gives a glimpse of what His time of life was like growing up, as opposed to just being 33 or at His birth, or 30 through 33, as we see in the Gospels. We see a picture of the ridicule that He received because He was, in the minds of others, born illegitimately. And so there was a lot of ridicule about Him, and about His mother, and about His family, and all these things. And of course, people that didn't accept Him hated Him, and demonstrated that hate. So He was overwhelmed. He was ridiculed. He had unjust accusations. He was beaten, and He was nailed to the cross. All for loving people and coming. He was nailed to the cross, all for loving people and coming to give them an eternal life and abundant life. Christ was willing to endure the suffering and the ridicule and all those things and the injustice and go to the cross because He loved you and because He loved me. He was willing to take it all. So how does that apply to you and I? Are we willing to love God no matter what we go through in life? Or do we love God when it's easy, like many do, and rebel against God when it becomes tough? We need to love God in every given circumstance. Jesus was so overwhelmed as a man, 100% man, 100% God. He was overwhelmed as a man, so much so that He sweat drops of blood. I ask myself, or ask you, have you ever seen or experienced being under so much stress that you saw someone or you experienced for yourself sweating drops of blood? The veins, the capillaries, all those things just breaking open and mixing with your sweat and dripping blood. That's what Jesus was going through. It was an intense situation that he was facing. And the one thing we need to remember about Jesus before we look at this passage of Scripture is that he was 100% man. Therefore, he can relate to us and we can relate to him. That he's not distanced because he's God. He's 100% man and 100% God. But in Christ's humanity, in Luke 22:41-44, he said this passage was written about this, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me." The cross is what he's talking about. "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." So in that given circumstance that he was facing, he knew that his mission was to be born in the flesh and to carry out his ministry and to go to the cross and not just die on the cross, but raise from the grave and ascend to the Father. But he's saying, as a man, he's saying, and in that distress, he's crying out to God as his son, saying, "Father, if it's your will, take this cup, take this purpose out of my life. I don't want to go to the cross in my flesh, but I want to be in your will." Something that is kind of hard to understand, because to put it in words like "I don't want to go to the cross" as a man is paralleled with the statement, "Take this cup from me. I don't want to drink in that situation. I don't want to take it in my life." And so he resolved in himself to trust God's will. What circumstance are you in your life today, or that you have been, or will you remember in the future, that you can trust in God's will and you resolve to that purpose? Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. I almost feel like that's a contradiction. An angel came and strengthened Jesus, and then the next verse says, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. The angel intensified the goal and the purpose that God had planned out and proposed for him. He intensified, here's the mission. As prescribed by the Father before the foundations of the world, it was already established that Jesus would go to the cross and die for your sin and mine. And Jesus voluntarily went to the cross and died, and of his own will rose himself up from the grave. So what was happening was the angel said to him, "Remember your mission." He intensified the mission. That's literally what that word means, to intensify the focus. This is your focus. Stay on task. Do what the Father's will is. This is what you need to do. But in response to that, as a man, he was in such weight from all of it, just the thought of going to the cross and bearing your sin and mine, the sin of all the world, but more, even more, being rejected by the Father on the cross. And yet he prayed earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. It's not like he wiped his forehead and said, "There's a little blood mixed into my sweat. What's going on?" No, great drops of blood dropping to the ground while he prayed. Whew. I didn't even know that was possible, except what Scripture says here, of course. Jesus was in agony over what he was facing. But read what it says in Hebrews 12:2. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Now, you've heard me say this many times in messages, that the goal, the purpose, and I believe this is part of what he was strengthened by, was that purpose that was set before him, that joy that was set before him, was you and I. That he would know and knew that you and I would be saved from eternal condemnation because of our sin and have a relationship with God that's eternal through faith in Jesus Christ. But not just that, but that he also knew that he would ascend to the Father and sit at the right hand of the Father and be glorified by the Father, and that he would send his Holy Spirit at the Father's command at the appointed time. He would send his Spirit to indwell every believer's heart the day of Pentecost and thereafter. And so these are the things that strengthen Christ. So when we're in circumstances, we might challenge ourselves to say to ourselves, being faithful here will bring glory to God. But we also will need to just pray out to God with all of our heart and say, God, this is the weight of all that I'm going through here. And I know you hear me and I'm talking to you about this, but I need some resolve and some help. Sometimes we say, God, just take this situation away from me. I've had circumstances in church where, in my ministry, to say, over the four churches that I've pastored, that in ministry where I've laid on the floor face down before God and said, God, I do not want to do this, but your word says I have to if I'm going to follow you. And it's not easy. You're going to need to carry me. You're going to need to do it because I can't. But that's where I learned the grace, the power, the love of God in my life, and that's where you can learn that too. So Jesus, who was under such stress and overwhelmed with what was about to happen, he looked to the goal at the end. What's your goal? To hear, my goal, and I hope it's your goal, is to hear God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, in whom I am well pleased. Enter now into the joy of the Lord, which my Father and I have prepared for you. So looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Remember, he hung on the cross naked, nude, before all people, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He was glorified. And you and I will be glorified with him. Jesus kept his focus not on what he was going through, but on his end goal, providing a way of salvation for mankind, us, which was his glory and is his glory and his joy. Many times during our overwhelming circumstances in life, we cry out to God, we beg him to change our circumstances, like I was saying. But in reality, God wants us to use the circumstances to change us. When we hit the brick wall, when we look at the circumstance we have no control over, Paul said, I rejoice in my tribulations. I rejoice in my weaknesses. Because he realized his opportunity to see the power of God working in his life and molding him to be the person that he wants him to be. So the best way to conquer feeling overwhelmed is to take our eyes off horizontally or around us, to take our eyes off of what's consuming us and get a bigger picture of what's really important. What's really important is that we keep our faith and we live out our faith and be that positive witness during those circumstances. Because you know and I know that when we're in circumstances that people are aware of that are difficult and we stand on faith, that faith is used by God to touch other people's lives and to do something with us, to change us. Now, we've heard this all before. Take your eyes off the problem, the person, the loss, the need, etc., and put them on God and focus on him and his character instead. Remember that. The world is ugly. You know what I keep telling myself over and over and over again? I keep saying, you're on your throne. You are sovereign Lord and King. You are in control. I can trust you, even though I really am upset about everything that's happening in our culture today. Remember what Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus. Look at Jesus' example. I'm a man, 100%. I'm in agony about the circumstances that I'm entering into. I've called out to the Father to remove it, but I want to do the Father's will, not my own, because I know if my will is not your will, then it's not the good way to go. I'm going to rely on you, and I'm going to keep focused on the mission of being faithful and obedient to the Father, living out the plan and purpose God has for our life, that he might be glorified, looking unto Jesus, Hebrews 12:2. God is using life circumstances in your life and in my life to draw our attention to Him. Whether it be the threat of the Delta variant, or COVID, or drought, and water being cut off by the Sacramento Board of Water, just had to plug that in there, political unrest, the diagnosis of cancer, or financial shortfalls, no matter what you're going through, we are to look to God and trust Him and depend on Him. And know that He's working that good work in our life. You've heard that over and over. Don't let the spirit of this world overwhelm us. You ever feel that way? With just the world, it's just crushing us in. It's the same illustration with the kids. Just surrounding us and suffocating us to the bed. Look up. Look to our Redeemer, our God, our Savior, and His strength and His love. And He will carry us as we rely on Him by faith. And God will use our circumstances to draw the attention of others to God as well as we are faithful to God. And remember the political unrest. Don't get swallowed up by it. Steve was saying this morning in Sunday school, he said, we're to pray for our leaders of our country because God said we ought to. God is the one that places, and we need to trust God with His purpose and pray respectfully. So don't let the spirit of this world overcome us. Remember whom we belong to. And then finally, in 1 John 4:4, and I want to ask you to stand, if you would, please. And I want you to read this verse with me. Let's read this together. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Challenge to you and I. Write it on a post-it, put it somewhere where you see it, and try to memorize that. Try to memorize that this week. We are of God, we just remain standing, we're closing here in a minute. We are of God and have overcome. Through Christ, we have the victory over everything. It's already ours. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So I'm going to stop right here with that thought for you and I to remember and to focus on, to meditate on that fact, okay, that we've already overcome the world, that we are His children, right? And then we'll come back next week and we'll continue from here. So let's not be overwhelmed about whatever circumstance we're facing. Let's be overcomers. Hey, it's a lot more joyous and praising to God when we know that we are overcomers. Like Golan said earlier, things will hit us in the face that we can't climb over. But God is there. God is right there. He's our strength that will carry us right over it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here today. And as we, as your children and as brothers and sisters in Christ, let us commit our hearts and our lives to keeping our eyes looking upward on you. Let us be wise and not allow the circumstances around us to crush us or smother us. But let us walk in your power and in your authority and in confidence that you, as our loving Heavenly Father, will take care of every need and that you have every good purpose planned out for each of our lives. And that we, Father, that every one of your children are the inheritance that you give to your Son, Jesus. We praise you for that. We praise you that you've placed us in the hands of our Lord and Savior, and nothing can pluck us out of His hands. Therefore, we can trust Him in all things, especially because of His great, immeasurable love that He has for all of us, that you have for us. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.